Good evening. It's good to be with you again, and always good to be able to bring the message this evening. This evening, I've entitled the lesson, Almost There. Almost There. We're going to look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 30 through 33. And as you're turning there, I'm going to set the lesson up here. Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 through 33. You know, when someone works hard to accomplish something, there's usually, you know, a sense of gratification once it's all over. You know, once you reach what you wanted to reach, then there's a sense, and you say you've got there, there's a sense of gratification. Second thing might be, you know, Israel was on the verge of going into the promised land, but instead they allowed fear to override them. And the third thing this evening, you know, today too many are almost there. And almost, you know, means where they need to be spiritually. It's talking about spiritually, but for whatever reason, they don't quite get there. In Numbers chapter 13, we'll look at verses 30 through 33. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, and the part of Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." You know, like I said so many times, they were almost there. But sometimes our fear can get the best of us. Fear can also cause us not to do things that God wants us to do. Sometimes we act like we're afraid to let others know that we're a Christian. Sometimes we're afraid of that. But we should let them know that we are a Christian, that we are a follower of Christ. And they will know that also. Most of them will know that by the way we act, in our actions. The first thing I want to talk about this evening, you know, for Israel, in Numbers chapter 13, let's look at verses 21 through 25. In that same chapter, verses 21 through 25. You know, Israel's spies had already seen the land and its inhabitants. In Numbers 13, 21 through 25. "So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob at Lebo Hamath. When they had gone up into the Negev, they came to Hebron, where Ahiman and Sheshai and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and from there cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two men with some of the pomegranates and the figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the sons of Israel cut down from there. Verse 25, when they returned from spying out the land at the end of the 40 days, and then 26, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, and they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So Israel's spies had already seen the land. The next thing, they went up and spied out the land in the wilderness of Zin. And then the third, next thing is that sadly, that a majority of the spies came back with a bad assessment of Israel's ability to possess the land. And that was in the first reading that we had in 30 through 33 of Numbers 13. But Caleb had a good outlook. Caleb had a good outlook on things. You know, like I said, he quieted the people, said, go up at once and occupy it. And, you know, we will overcome it. Caleb had a can-do attitude. He had a can-do attitude, and he was confident in that. He was confident. And he was confident in what they could do and what they could accomplish. But he was soon kind of persuaded otherwise. He was outnumbered and just kind of standing alone. There are those who will try to tell us we can't do certain things. And it's easy to start believing in that and then follow through with it and start going with the crowd. You know, when God is on our side, though, when God's on our side, anything is possible. Anything's possible. And we must put our faith in that He will see us through. We need to leave the results to God. We should be thankful that God is with us. We should be thankful for that. The next thing I want to talk about this evening is Joshua. You know, Joshua and Caleb, they were the faithful few for Israel there. In Numbers 14, if you would, turn to Numbers 14. Let's read 6 through 10. Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 10. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Excuse me. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And in verse 10, but all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. You know, God was very angry with Israel for rejecting him. And what about today? What about today for us? Is the same today? Is there still people rejecting him today? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's not much that's changed. So we're going through the same thing. But yes, and you know, I often wonder, you know, and you all may too, that, when is God going to have enough of this? When is God going to have enough? But we see God's patience. We see God's patience each and every day. He's giving us time. He's giving us time to make the right decisions to live for Him. That's what He is doing. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 11 there, in verse 11, you know, how long will this people despise me? How long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs that I've done among them? They saw the signs. They saw the signs and still rejected him. You know, we read about the signs and the things that they saw and see all the things that Jesus did and what he does, and still today people reject salvation. And it's a shame. It's a shame they reject salvation. The next thing I want to talk about this evening is Israel's lack of faith cost them dearly. Israel's lack of faith cost them dearly. In Numbers 14, let's look at 11 through 19. Numbers chapter 14, verse 11 through 19. The Lord said to Moses, how long will this people spurn me? How long will they not believe in me, despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? I will smite them with pestilence and dispossess them, and I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they. But Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear of it, for by your strength you brought up this people from their midst. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen eye to eye with, while your cloud stands over them. And you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and the pillar by fire by night. Now if you slay this people as one man, then the nations who have heard of your name will say, because the Lord could not bring this people into the land which he promised them by oath, therefore he slaughtered them in the wilderness. But now I pray, let the power of the Lord be great, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generations. Verse 19, pardon, I pray, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your loving kindness, just as you also have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. So Israel's lack of faith, it cost them dearly. Moses interceded on their behalf. He said, please pardon the iniquity of this people. Please pardon the iniquity of this people. The problem is that they complained all the time. They complained. They never were satisfied. Are we just like them? Are we just like they are or they were? Do we complain when God's word tells us something that we must do? You know, many will make excuses why we don't do certain things, but it's not up to us to decide that. When God tells us to do something, then we need to do it. We need to follow through. Obeying God's word is always the best thing to do. Even if we have to do it alone. You know, we sing the song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to trust in Jesus. And we must obey. So sometimes it won't seem like the right thing to do when others aren't doing what they should be doing. And it makes us want to just jump right in with them. But sometimes we might be just standing alone. The popular thing isn't always the right thing to do. We must let God's word guide us in our decision making. They even saw the Lord's patience. Moses was talking about that. You know, they saw the Lord's patience, just like we do. And you know, in verse 17, the Lord's slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. There, and this, like I said, this was Moses speaking and pleading for them. The next thing I want to discuss, you know, without God, there is nothing but ultimate failure and defeat. Without God, there is nothing but ultimate failure and defeat. Now, let's look at Numbers 14, verses 39 through 45. Numbers chapter 14, verses 39 through 45. When Moses spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, the people mourned greatly. In the morning, however, they rose up early and went up to the ridge of the hill country, saying, here we are, we have indeed sinned, but we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised. But Moses said, why then are you transgressing the commandment of the Lord when it will not succeed? Do not go up, or you will be struck down before your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites will be there in front of you, and you will fall by the sword, inasmuch as you have turned back from following the Lord, and the Lord will not be with you. Verse 44. But they went up heedlessly to the ridge of the hill country. Neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses left the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and struck them and beat them down as far as Hormah. And also, you know, in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, tells us, For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? Verse 18, And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. believe, you know, we must believe because it's a command. It's a command. We must believe God. We must believe his word. Like I said, believe, repent, confess, all those things, those are commands, and we must follow through with them. They all go together. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and we must remain faithful. All these go hand in hand. And the next thing, what can we learn from Israel's mistake? What can we learn from Israel's mistake in the past? Well, we must never lose sight that our promised land is waiting for us. Our promised land is waiting for us. So long as that we have faith in God and do his will. And that's what we should do. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, Hebrews 4, verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. The next thing, Jesus has already indicated that he has gone to prepare a home. Jesus indicated that, gone to prepare our home. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, John 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And what a wonderful thing to have for us. And we should be thankful for that, that he has prepared that for us. There's a place, and that place is not only for me and you, it's for each and every one of us. You know, if God says something, you know, he means it. And we must obey his word. But there is a place for all of us. If we obey God's will and we remain faithful, there's a place for us. You know, our opinions don't account for much. Our opinions don't account for much. It's easy to do what we want to do, and that's how the world lives, though. That's how the world will tell us how to live. But God wants us to take a stand and live righteously. He wants us to live righteously and remain faithful. And the next thing, Paul indicated that we have assurance. He indicated that we have assurance that heaven is waiting for us. And I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Let us never forget these words here in this section here. This world's not our home because we're just passing through. It's not our home. We're just passing through it. And in closing this evening, you know, Israel, they was always triumphant. They were only triumphant when they obeyed God, though. And when God's on our side, we can be triumphant as well. And the last thing, a lack of faith will cripple even the strongest man. This evening, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God, if you haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you've struggled in your daily walk with God, whatever your need is, go to make it be known as we stand and sing the invitation.